Thank you, Brother Russ. It's a pleasure to be with you, brethren, today. I have my little girl Ellen with me today. Ellen, stand up, please. You got to stand up, please. She's a little shy. Okay. Sister Marilyn was not able to come with us. She's spending the weekend with her ailing grandmother, and it was the right time for her to visit her grandmother, so she made that decision. But she wanted her love sent to the brethren here. I appreciate being with you folks today, and I appreciate the leadership that the brethren in the Chicago class have taken in my life over the years. I've expressed it to some of you elders, and I really appreciate it. And on the shoulders of you brethren, I stand before you and speak out of the Word of God. We appreciate the leadership that the Chicago class has exhibited over the years, and we ask that you will keep it coming. Brethren, the book of Proverbs is truly a guide to life. We can look to the book of Proverbs for just about every aspect of our living. You have a handout, and we're going to go through the slides. On your handout, you should see a slide number in the bottom right corner of each slide. And every once in a while, I'll refer to that. But we're going to go through here quickly, and the reason that we're giving a handout is because we want you to take it home and study it later. But we just want to give you the quick overview. We'll drill down and get some detail every once in a while. But basically, we're going to stand up and look at the forest and help us to provide benchmarks for our lives, because this is where the principles of life really are explained to us. On the second slide, the book of Proverbs, it answers life's questions. It tells us what to seek. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 7, it says, the Lord says to seek him early. In fact, let's read that. Proverbs 8, verse 7. It says, for my mouth shall speak truth. No, that's not it. 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Brethren, are we seeking the Lord early? And especially to you young people, are you seeking the Lord early in your life and developing a life that's based on the principles of the truth? The book of Proverbs answers lots of questions in life. It tells us how to choose a mate. We all know about the Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 13, and that's the explanation of what the characteristics are that are found in a virtuous woman. The young brothers, they should look for a woman that exhibits these godlike attitudes. It's as simple as that. It's not hard. It's simple. And the book of Proverbs helps us along the way. It tells us how to choose friends, and we'll get to that later. It tells us how to handle conflict. You remember the scripture that says, heap coals of fire on the friend's head, well, on the people's head that give you trouble? Well, that was a tradition back in the old times, because when people would visit other people's house, they wouldn't have fire or hot burning coals in their house. And so the people would give these folks hot coals to take home to start in their fireplace. And that's what we should do to our enemies or to those that are giving us trouble. We should try to find a way to do good to them. The book of Proverbs tells us how to get a good night's sleep. And let's take a quick moment to read this one. This is wonderful. It's in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. And the scripture says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. These are the Proverbs. Let not these words depart from thy eyes. Let not mercy and truth depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And we'll learn about what sound wisdom and discretion is a little bit later. And if you do keep sound wisdom and discretion, they will be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Isn't that nice? If we have a clear conscience, if we do the right thing, if we trust in the Lord, then we can go to sleep at night and have a nice night's sleep. We won't be tossing and turning. It tells us what the most important part of our body is. And that's found in Proverbs 23, verse 26. What does that scripture say? It says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Brethren, the Lord puts a premium on our heart. Where is our heart? Where is our loyalty? Is it with the Lord? Is it with somewhere else? The Proverbs suggests that we give our heart to God. And the book of Proverbs has a very overarching theme, and I like this theme in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. We don't have to turn to it, because I'll tell you what it tells us to do. It tells us to do three things. It tells us to do, love, and walk. Do what? It says to do justly. It says to love mercy. and it says to walk humbly with thy God. Do we walk humbly with the Lord? If we walk humbly with the Lord, we will listen to what he has to say, and we will apply these principles in our life. Micah 6, verse 8, it says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Isn't it nice that the prophet puts in the context of a requirement? What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God? It's pretty simple, isn't it? Three-step process. Slide number 3. Proverbs answers more of life's question. How to lay a roadmap for your future. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 through 18 is beautiful. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 through 18. Let's read that. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. Brethren, what's the first thing you see when you look at me? All the heads popped up. One of the first things you see is my tie. That's bound about my neck. And if I have mercy and truth bound about my neck in my character, then everybody will see that the first thing they look at. So that's where we should have mercy and truth. It should be the first thing that people look at when they see you. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine understanding. Remember that real estate in our body that the Lord puts a premium on? Micah 6, 8 told us about that. It's confirmed again here. It's the heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, verse 6, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Every once in a while we get our own ideas about what we should be doing and we put the scriptures aside. We put the principles aside. We put these rock solid principles aside in our life because of fleshly desires to do something different. And it's the flesh, brethren. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, a lot of people think this has to do with finances, and it does, but it has to do with a lot more than finances. It has to do with our time, our energies, what we put our interest in life, what we hold out as important to our children. Brethren, if we hold out fleshly things as important in our lives, guess what? Our children are going to follow along that path. Honor the Lord with thy substance. That's what the scripture says. Verse 10, so shalt thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. Brethren, that's not just worldly goods. And in fact, primarily it's not worldly goods. But it's the new wine of energy. It's the new wine of strength that gives us strength to walk in the way, to do the right thing. And remember the parable that Jesus said about when the winds came, the waters destroyed the house that was built on sand. But he admonished us to build our lives on the solid rock so that when the storms of life came, we would not be easily moved. And that's what the book of Proverbs tells us what to do. These are the foundation principles that we can pile drive into the rock and build a future life, not only for ourselves, but for our children. We're not going to continue reading that, but it might be nice for you to read in your spare time. The book of Proverbs tells us how to get rich. And these are not worldly riches. These are durable riches. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 18, actually 17, starting with 17, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. The Lord says that he has riches with him, and all we have to do is find what they are, unlock the door, and he'll open them up to us. I'm not talking about worldly wealth. I'm talking about durable riches, those of our character. Jesus taught us how to discern in Matthew chapter 7, 16 through 20. We're not going to read that, but basically he gives us some insight into how to discern. How to understand hearts. Remember in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. This is a wonderful litmus test for us in determining what kinds of friends we should have. If they're not speaking the truth, if they're not speaking wisdom, if they're speaking fleshly things, we don't need them. This is especially true for young people. They're not the people that you should go after and try to seek out to be your friends. They teach us how to raise children. The book of Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, what does it say? It says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do we do that? Is that love and mercy bound about our neck at home as well as at the Bible students' meetings? Do we act one way at home and a different way among the brethren? Do our brethren see that difference, and do they then lose confidence in the power of the truth? Yes, they do. And we've seen that experience among the brethren. We've seen that experience among young people that would grow up seeing a certain amount of hypocrisy or a certain amount of difference in the way brethren act among the Bible students and the way they act at home, and we've seen the shipwreck in their lives. Brethren, these Proverbs are not only for young people, they're for old people too. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, it tells us how to be successful. And we just read that. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. Brethren, all of these principles of Proverbs have to first happen at the home, with our family, with our wives, with our children. That's the first responsibility that we have. Then we take it outside the home, and then we take it and we use these in the world too. The next slide is slide number 4. These Proverbs are good for all ages, and I believe that especially young people should use these Proverbs when you're young to build a godly life. And use Proverbs when you get older to troubleshoot life's problems. You know, sometimes even the older brethren, we can look back on life and they can troubleshoot life's problems and say, ah, that's why that didn't happen that way. Ah, that's why the Lord let me fall into that rut and sprain my ankle. Brethren, I believe that if we make the precepts and Proverbs our own, we will be guaranteed success, not worldly success, but the success that the Lord promises. It's like an owner's manual for life. And all we have to do is read the directions. I know I don't read the directions very often, especially when I build a grill in my backyard. I got in trouble recently when I didn't read the directions first. But brethren, it's an owner's manual for life. And you know what? Life is too short, and opportunities once passed may never come our way again for us to try to live by trial and error. We need to follow the word of God in the book of Proverbs if we want to find happiness and success. Brethren, let's take a look at the next slide. What is success? What is the definition of success? Well, I like this definition. It's the acquisition and development of durable riches which are attained through the process of living a godly life. And I would submit to you from the example of some of our older brethren here that you will harvest durable riches during and after your fulfillment as a human being when you try to live by the principles of the truth. And if you're consecrated, when you develop the fruits and the truths and the graces of the Holy Spirit, and the fulfillment of your development will give you a tremendous strength of satisfaction. Not just satisfaction, but a strength and a purpose of life. And this is especially for you young people. You know, I'm only 43 years old, but I've had some interesting experiences. We've had some very difficult experiences. Some of you know about them. And some of you know how they've transformed our lives. And we really appreciate the power of God. I was talking to Brother Joe earlier. I forget your last name, Brother Joe. But that one over there. Joe Shiel? Is it Shell? In fact, there's another Brother Joe right in front of you, I think. But anyway, all we have to do is add hard work, don't we? All we have to do is follow God's will and add hard work. That's all we have to do. It's not that complicated. At least it doesn't seem so. Let's take a look at the first chapter in the book of Proverbs. That's chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, because this is a self-defining purpose of what the book of Proverbs is here for us to be. Chapter 1, verses 3. What does it say? It says, well, let's take a look at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon and the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Isn't that beautiful? So the purpose of this book is verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge, and discretion. Wow, us old folks, wouldn't we like to give young people knowledge and discretion? All we have to do is point them to this book and have them live and breathe in this book. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And then verse 7, this hits you right between the eyes. The fear or the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Brethren, this book tells us in the very beginning what its purpose is. Its purpose is to make a person wise, so that we might learn how to act wisely and righteously, and that we might learn how to treat others with fairness, with equity, the word says. And it also teaches us how to give. It teaches us how to give to the ignorant common sense, to the young sound advice, and to the wise even more wisdom. Brethren, I believe that the Proverbs are truly a guide for life. We're on slide 7 right now. And it's interesting, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, you know, talking about wisdom, I really like this phrase by Theodore Roosevelt. He says, "Wisdom is 9/10 a matter of being wise in time. Most of us are often wise after the event." Isn't that true? Brethren, if we read the book of Proverbs and we understand its principles and we look for an understanding, we try to find an application, then we will be wise in time. We should not try to live life by trial and error. We need to read the owner's manual. How about Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 4? I love this. It kind of sets us up for, it's a beautiful logical transition, but let's look at verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments within thee," isn't that interesting? "Hide them within thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding." Brethren, don't we do that in our tough times? Don't we cry after knowledge and understanding? When we're in trouble, when we sprain our ankle in a rut of life, we cry after understanding, don't we? And the Lord usually gives it to us if we're looking for it. If verse 4, "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures." Isn't that wonderful? The statement gives us a tangible feeling. It gives us something to look for, something that we can relate to as silver. Man, wouldn't we all jump after silver if we could find it? That's how we should treat wisdom. And then let's take a look at what we get if we do that. Verses 9, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." It's almost like a formula, isn't it? If you are a computer program, it's like an if-then statement. "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." Remember, I was talking about sweet sleep. "Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things." You know, yesterday's study was good. I wasn't there, obviously, but I looked at the outline and I appreciate some of the questions. But when we ask questions like, "What would you do if Hitler came to your door and were looking for Jews?" That's kind of a situation that none of us will ever really experience. What we experience is what happens around the water machine during the coffee break, and how we treat other people. Do we treat them with knowledge? Do we treat them with mercy? Do we treat them with love? Do we treat them with kindness? How do we treat everybody in the normal, everyday dealings of life? And I believe that's where the secret of Proverbs really takes hold of our heart and changes us. It helps us to lay a foundation for our lives. And as parents, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to encourage or lead our children to consecrate? That's not my opinion. What I see in the scriptures is I think that we should try to prepare our children's heart to be the good ground, so that when that seed is planted in it by the Lord, it can grow and flourish. Brethren, if we don't live a life in God away from the Bible students, then our children will see it and their life will be shipwrecked because they won't have a moral gyroscope. And we see that way too often. Sometimes the brethren puts too much emphasis on the knowledge of the truth rather than the actions of the truth. I think sometimes we can be good Bible students but bad Christians. Just the way we treat each other, the way we treat our children, do we take a real interest in them and try to develop them? I know that's something that I could do better at. Let's skip a couple of slides because we're getting kind of late. Slide number 9, the transitions of life. I believe that the transitions of life are really the most important parts of our life. Really, this is where we build the framework for our future during the transition of our life. And as young people, probably in the ages of 13 to 20, you're going through a huge transition right now. And I'm telling you, I'm halfway down this tunnel at 43 years old, and I can see light at the end of the tunnel, but I've had a lot of experiences back here. And I'm telling you, that at the beginning of this tunnel, if you build your life on the principles of the truth and try to do the right thing in the right situations, you will be growing and developing and you won't even know it. You're going to be preparing yourself for future experiences, and you're going to be able to treat those, see those experiences in the light of the truth, in the light of love, in the light of mercy, because the Lord has written some things on the tables of your heart, and you don't even know it. It's an invisible experience, but it will guide you when you get older. And these transitions of life, they will be monumental in your future, either for your good or your bad. What you do in the next 5 years, if you're young or you think young, will have a huge impact on your life. The next slide, number 10. So what should we seek? Should we seek happiness? No, the whole world is seeking happiness. Everybody out there is seeking happiness. Friends, happiness is not something that we can seek. If we seek happiness, you'll not find it. Happiness is the end result. It's the natural result of living a godly life. It's not something we go after. It's something we get. Friends, the world is seeking happiness through the accumulation of stuff, material things, and it'll never make them happy. Brethren, should we seek wealth? No. Should we seek fame? No. What does the book of Proverbs say? Let's go back to the owner's manual and look in chapter 3, verses 3 through 13. What does it say? It says, seek mercy and truth. Never let it forsake you. Bind it about your neck. Write it on the tables of your heart. So shall you find good understanding in the sight of God and men. That's what we should seek. Mercy. That's what we should seek. Wisdom in chapter 8, verse 11. Now, one of the ways that we can seek wisdom is not to begrudge the hard experiences that come our way. If we can take these hard experiences cheerfully, try to become a better person, guess what? We'll automatically become a better person because of the power of God. Not because of us, but because of the power of God. You know, there's three parts of life, and we're going to digress a little bit. Can you hear? Is the microphone still on? One of the first parts of life is input. I'd like to boil this down to like a factory. We have three parts of life: input, processing, and output. So what we'd like to do is talk about input right now, and maybe it's an oversimplification, but let's start simply and see where we end. Proverbs 16, verse 3, we're on slide number 12. Brethren, children, young people, what do you allow to influence you? I have this theory, it's called GIGO, garbage in, garbage out, it's an acronym. Brethren, or children, young people, whoever you are, you'll become what you listen to. It'll go into you and that's what you'll become. If you listen to the radio, you're going to become like the music that you listen to. How about TV? You'll become what you watch. Even your friends. You're going to become like your friends. It's guaranteed. It's called homophily. We were talking about this last night. It's the tendency for things when touching to look like each other. If you're touching the TV all the time, you're going to look like a TV. If you're touching the radio all the time, you're going to look and think like a radio. If you're touching the owner's manual in the book of Proverbs all the time, if you're reading it every day, you're going to start looking like the book of Proverbs. And what about your friends? Is the book of Proverbs your friend? Brethren, all we have to do is listen to and read the Word of God. If we do that, then we will start thinking along the lines of the principles of righteousness. Another part of input. Do we have a thirst for wisdom? And I listed some scripture references for you to take a look at. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Let's take a look at that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. What does it say? Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. So, brethren, if we get wisdom, then we'll be happy. That's what the scripture says. And what is wisdom? Well, I like this definition. It says, wisdom is the insight into the underlying causes and the significance or consequences of things, which insight enables one to apply to the best end the knowledge he has. And I'll tell you a secret. As a young person, employers love wise people. Why? Because they can see the end from the beginning. They understand that these little fights that happen between people, that's just the static before the real decision has to be made. And if we have wisdom, if we have godly wisdom, if we have love, if we have mercy, employers love those kind of people. Brethren love those kind of people. I see when I look out here and I was listening to you singing, I see a chorus of faith. I see Brother Art Jesuit. I see Brother Mark Neiman. I see Brother Greg Mathewson. I see people that I don't even know But you all have a part to play. And we all are different, but we can all seek wisdom. We can all seek righteousness. Brethren, this Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Timothy, and I put the scripture citation right there, Second Timothy 3:16-17, that the Word of God equips us for every good work. The Word of God allows us to look at our whole life circumspectly and determine if we're doing the right thing. The book of Proverbs is 31 chapters long. Guess what? There's 31 days in a month. That means you can read a book a day. Isn't that a good idea? By the way, I don't. I should, but I don't. But it'll help you filter out the static in life. We're still talking about input. So input daily Proverbs into your ear every day, like a big funnel. Just put it right in there. One book a day, that's all you have to do. It's about 7 or 8 minutes. The next slide, slide number 15. We need to guard this input closely. You know, we have to avoid Satan's subtle attacks. What input are we allowing to come into our heart? How do we resist Satan? Well, it's like a big 55-gallon drum. If I had a big 55-gallon drum on the stage right there, sink to the bottom, it would displace all the water. And then it wouldn't be clear anymore. And that's what happens if we let the wrong influences to come into our mind. We need to use our time and energy to buy the truth. Let's take a look at that. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 23 through 24. It says, what does it say? It says, buy the truth and sell it not. Well, I think I got $5 in my pocket. Let me put it down and try to buy it. No, that's not what the scripture's saying. It says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and righteous and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy in him. Oh, is my mic not on? Sorry. I did that, brethren. It wasn't anybody else but me. Oh, sorry. I just didn't want you to hear me singing during the hymn. Let's take a look at the next slide. I guess I didn't finish that thought, but we buy this with our time and our energies. It involves giving up something for us to get the truth. It involves our time. What do we spend our time at doing? Do we spend our time goofing around, doing stuff that's stupid? Do we spend our time being careless about the input that we allow in our life? Let's take a look at the next slide, slide 17. And we're going to get to the next stage. First, we talked about input. Now we're going to be talking about processing. This is the factory of life, brethren. It's not any harder than that. It's kind of simple. We got to guard our input. Now we got to do the right processing. What is discretion? I like this definition. It's ability to do the right thing at the right time. We can all show each other what we want to be like, but is that really what we are? Discretion is the ability to do the right thing at the right time. The scripture says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. Tend it as a garden, for out of it are the issues of life. Brethren, you want to know how you know if you're doing the right thing? Where does your mind go at the point of rest? Where does your mind go at its point of rest? You know, when I go to the eye doctor, he says, okay, rest your eyes. What do you see? Then he knows how to prescribe what lenses to put in my glasses. Where does your mind go at the point of rest? And you can do your own self-diagnostic and find out where your heart is. Where does it go at its point of rest? Brethren, a properly kept heart will lead to right thoughts, and which will result in the right words and appropriate actions, and you'll gain discretion automatically. How about discernment? This is part of our processing. When we process the truths of the Word of God, we discern. What was that last word I had? Discretion. We practice discretion. I like this definition of discernment. The ability to tell right from wrong and everything in between. Isn't it a blessing when we can speak to somebody and they can be a clear thinker on a subject? That's what we want to be. We need to develop those powers of discernment by reading the scriptures, by understanding, by letting God write this table of love and mercy on the table of our heart. Let's take a look at the next slide, slide 19. Still in the processing equation, what is your value system? Brethren, every one of us has a value system. And these are principles that we keep in our hearts and use to filter out everything we encounter with our five senses, the way people act, the way people treat us, what people say, their body language. And I believe as young people, let's take a look at Proverbs 22, verse 6, your value system already has a good foundation laid. Oh, I think we already read that scripture. And what I'm here to ask you as young people to do is not to forsake that value system, but to develop it, tend it, take the weeds out, develop it as my Aunt Ruthie probably develops her tomatoes in her tomato garden. Don't forsake it. Don't forsake your value system. Develop it. That takes us to the garden of our heart. Remember, we're on the second stage. This is processing. The garden of our heart. How is your heart's garden? Jesus says in Matthew 6, 21 through 22, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. Brethren, sometimes we get disappointed in life. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get in the slough of despond. And we don't understand where God's hand is. We're reaching for it, but we can't find it. I appreciated Brother Brent Hislop's statement in a talk about 25 years ago. He said that two men looked out of prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. Brethren, two men were looking out of the same window, but one was looking up and he saw stars, and one was looking down in discouragement and he saw mud. One was looking up at the possibilities, one was looking at the realities. And that's the way life is, isn't it? I really appreciated this other concept that I heard about. It's like a hand that's being pulled together. There are two hands being pulled together by a real strong rubber band. And this real strong rubber band will do either of two things. If this is your vision where you want to go, but this is your reality where you are, that rubber band as creative tension will either collapse your vision to your reality or it will bring your reality up to your vision. And that's the daily struggle that we have every day, brethren. We need the power of God in our lives. We need to understand and inculcate the scriptures, the principles of righteousness. And I believe that if we keep the garden of our heart properly manicured, that we will be able to turn our problems into opportunities and our liabilities into assets. Let's talk about the third part of life, output. And certainly there's a lot of importance in outputting good things. We output things every day, don't we? We output things to our children. We output things to the people at work. As a salesman, I output things to my customers on the phone in letters that I write. As a friend of Russ Martin's, I output to him. Sometimes it's information on the internet. Especially to my children, I have to output good things to them. I have to output good things to my mom. I have to output good things all the time. And this is where the rubber meets the road, brethren. It's not up here, it's in here. It's in your heart. We have to give. It's more important to give. We're not going to talk more about that, but the next thing we're going to talk about is slide 22. We need to speak the truth. Brethren, when we don't speak the truth, when we lie, it offends our brethren. And you know what? If we try to cover that up with a lie, it just gets worse. Have you ever done that? I have. I remember a very interesting experience about 10 years ago. I was talking to an equal in the company with me, and he said, Todd, let's have breakfast. He did a Matthew 18 on me. I think I might have told you guys about this one time. But anyway, he busted me right between the chops right there at breakfast, and I had to admit it because it was the truth. But, you know, I was able to sleep that night because I admitted it, and I was able to recover from that failure, and the collateral damage that could have happened was not done. The company could have split in trouble. People could have taken sides because they like me. I could have put on some pretense of righteousness that wasn't really there. Brethren, sincerity is transparency of character, and it's an unconscious quality that is self-revealing. It reveals what we have inside. The next slide about output is to do not sin. This is especially important for our young people. You cannot take fire into your bosom and not burn your clothes. I think that's a statement I learned from Uncle Gene. You can't dance in the minefield and not get your feet blown off. I think that's another thing I learned from Uncle Gene. And we learned from the Apostle Paul that whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. Brethren, your conscience has already been developed as young people. Don't violate it. How about the word integrity? It's another thing of output. The definition that I like is the uncompromising adherence to God's rules and principles. And look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. It says something very interesting about this little thing we call integrity. It says, The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Isn't that beautiful? If we develop integrity, it'll be our guiding light. It'll be like the most powerful halogen headlights on the road of life. What does chapter 10, verse 29 says? It says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Isn't that beautiful? Brethren, chapter 19, verse 1. What does that say in Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 1? Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. The saying that I really like is, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. Another thing about, we're going to skip that one. Oh, I like this one, slide number 26, output. We're still talking about output. We need to work hard. We need to work hard. Proverbs talks about these ants. They work hard, and nobody tells the ants to work hard, but they do it on their own. And they prepare for the seasons of life. Are we preparing for the seasons of life? Friends, I believe there's three different groups of people. There's the people who make things happen. Then there's the people who watch things happen. And then there's the people who ask what happened. And I believe that we need to work hard. We need to work hard to do the right thing. And it's not something that happens by people that are being lazy. I love this little poem. It says, the heights by great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night. Looks like we have a couple more minutes. Let's turn to slide number 27. This is especially true for our young people. Young people, when you get a chance, read Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. And parents, you should read this to your young ladies, your young sons. It tells the boys how to pick a godly woman. It tells what a virtuous woman is like. And our young men should be looking for young ladies that they're interested in based on the filter of God's Word. Period. Let's take a look quickly at Proverbs 15, verse 18. This is how to pick a godly man. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. So guess what? You shouldn't start looking for a wrathful man. 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before the fall. So guess what? You shouldn't look for a young man that's prideful. 15:33, what does that say? It says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. We need to look after a young man who is fearful of the Lord, who is reverential toward the Lord. What does 16 verse 7 say? It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isn't that beautiful? So sometimes we look at the scriptures and it seems to say more of what a young woman should be found by a young man. But you know what? We need to look, the young people, the young ladies can look for the principles of righteousness in a godly man to be their spouse. Does your prospective spouse fear the Lord? How do they resolve conflict? Do they resolve conflict by stirring up more conflict and by getting people to choose sides? Isn't that stupid? We see it happening in ecclesias too. We see emotional decisions being made, and we see wrong things being created by people in leadership positions that make other people choose sides based on loyalty, and it's bad. Do we do that in our own lives as mothers and fathers? Well, it looks like our time is up, brethren. As you can see, I'm really excited about this concept. Another thing that Brother Ken Rawson always used to say, he said, be courageous and may God be with the good. And I think that sums it up. There's a few more slides that gives more insights into the scriptures, collects some of these proverbs together topically, and they're a wonderful thing. We've been through some interesting experiences as a family, and we've tried to apply the principles of righteousness. We have not done it always, but when we have, it's been strength to our strength to our bodies and marrow to our bones. It's given us health, and it's given us a certain amount of a platform in which to do the right thing. And we appreciate the Lord's providence in those experiences. We appreciate His forgiveness when we've done the wrong thing, and I've done the wrong thing a lot of times. And we ask for the Lord to bless you in your deliberations on this important topic.